The Prophet Jonah. In this first discourse, I want to take a brief look, get a brief overview of the prophecy of Jonah. The book is quite remarkable. Jonah is sent to a pagan city, Nineveh. He is to preach against that city. And therefore it's to do with a people outside of the Jews. And the four chapters record the events of Jonah's prophecy. Historically, this book has played a very important role. Take William Tyndale, for example. You know that in the 1500s, William Tyndale left England, settled in the Low Countries, and translated the Bible from the Greek and then the Hebrew into the English language. Now, he didn't complete the work. He completed the New Testament, and he did some of the Old before he was put to death. It was the first translation from the Greek and the Hebrew into the English language. Wycliffe had translated the Bible from Jerome's Latin, the Vulgate, but Tyndale went back to Erasmus and the newly published Greek text. Now, having translated the New Testament, he learned Hebrew and began to translate the Old Testament. Having finished the Pentateuch with prologues, where did he turn next? The prophet Jonah. Why? Well, it's not hard to see. The reformers could see in Jonah a tremendous parallel with their own times. Now, the reformers were too much linked to the Old Covenant in their thinking, but they could see a direct parallel with a prophet preaching to a pagan king, and the pagan king responding so well. And so it would be an encouragement to the coming reformers, the young men, to make sure they preached and preached hopeful of success, even with the King of England, Henry VIII. Of course, it was a warning too, because Jonah has that warning, running away from God. And that is why I think, of course, that Tyndale thought so highly of the prophet Jonah. For Jonah was commissioned by God to go to Nineveh and preach against that great city. He had seen the wickedness. But Jonah ran away from God, and this is the overview. He ran away from the Lord, and he got fair on a ship and sailed away. He would not go to Nineveh. But the Lord sent a violent storm in the sea, and through the events of the sailors questioning Jonah, Jonah was eventually thrown into the sea to pacify the storm. They tried all they could not to do that. But nevertheless, in the end, Jonah had to be sacrificed. But he wasn't sacrificed. God prepared the great fish, the second chapter, to take in Jonah and protect him. How do I explain that? I don't attempt to explain it. It's a miracle. Jonah came to his senses. And in the third chapter, we get him changing his mind and God commissioning him again. And he goes to Nineveh and has success. The king, right down to the most menial servant, was affected for good by way of repentance. And God stayed his hand in judgment. What was Jonah's reaction? He was greatly offended. Why? Because he said, I predicted judgment, and what have you done? You've shown mercy. And that's what I knew, and that's why I ran away in the beginning. And how did God instruct Jonah? He instructed him by the vine, the gourd. Jonah was glad to sit under the vine, so that he could be sheltered from the heat. but God destroyed the vine overnight with a maggot, and the scorching east wind seared Jonah, and the sun beat upon him, and he was angry, and he was concerned, and he was grieved over the vine. And God said, "Now look, you're grieved over this vine, and you liked its shade, and you're sorry to see it gone, yes, and yet you look on this great city of Nineveh, 120,000 who don't know their right hand from their left, and I've had mercy upon them." Whether it's 120,000 infants, which makes it an enormous city, or whether it's 120,000 people there altogether who are so ignorant they don't know their right hand from their left, I do not know. But whatever it is, God, by this parable, by this living parable, shows Jonah that he should have had compassion and been delighted that God had mercy upon the people, even though Jonah himself had been a predictor of judgment. As I say, Tyndale saw in this very much of a parallel in the English Reformation. As I say, they were tied too strongly to Old Covenant principles. But Tyndale was encouraging the coming reformers to make sure they preached the gospel with the hope that even the King of England, Henry VIII, and the whole nation would be brought to God in repentance. And they must not funk it. They must not run away. They must go on and preach. Well, that's the brief overview. In the next discourse, I will start with God's command to Jonah. May God bless this short series of discourses on this prophet. May he live again. All I know is, speaking about the United Kingdom, without getting the least tied up with the Old Covenant principles, we desperately need in this land an awakening. We need a time when God brings the people to alarm and a sense of fear and worry, and brings them to himself. The time cannot come too soon when God will raise up such preachers that shall be able to preach his people here to Christ. I think the same could be said of all the Western world. Indeed, of all the world, may God raise up such preachers in a private way, men and women showing Christ to sinners. In a public way, may men so preach that it may come a worldwide turning unto God. May the prophet Jonah, in a sense, live again, as it were. May the effect we see here in the prophet Jonah come again to this world. May Nineveh be brought to Christ. And I hope that these few discourses may make a contribution in that desire and aim and purpose and hope.